The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. If you have a Bible from the pew, you can follow along on page 528. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good successes in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. The Lord reproves him whom he loves as the father of the son in whom he delights. This is God's word.
Amen. And church, if you would join me in this short prayer of confession, reading the sections of Say People. We long for wisdom, O Lord. We turn away from your leading and ignore the possibility and promise that come from life together with you. We drown out your gift of wisdom as you seek to get our attention, for we believe that we know better or would prefer to decide where we make you welcome. Bring an end to the self-righteousness that ignores you and awaken us anew to the wisdom that comes only from you. We thank you that the Christ who bore in his own body the sin of the world offers us not judgment, but mercy, and that in his name we are forgiven. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate and encourage our kids? Amen.
I know some of you were wondering, like, which kid was going to be preaching the sermon this morning and are surely disappointed to see that I'm up here. I said this in first service, though. I'm the closest to a kid of anyone on the pastoral team, so I will do my best to accommodate. Many years ago now, I had this opportunity to visit the biblical city of Ephesus, which, if you didn't know, still exists in modern-day Turkey. I was with a group of people who took a guided tour of the city, and it was one of the most unique and interesting experiences of my life, for sure. There's just a ton of rich biblical history in that city. Now, if you're on a tour like that, the best way to maximize it is to stay right behind the tour guide so that you can hear everything the guy says, because he's the pro with all the information that you need. But as you can imagine, there's no shortage of amazing, interesting things to admire and take pictures of. There are these terraced houses, there's this great theater, the Celsus Library, the Temple of Hadrian, just to name a few. So if you stay in step with the guide during the whole tour, you're going to receive this much greater insight into the rich history there. But if you get distracted, if you start lagging behind, it's going to significantly limit your understanding and enjoyment of the experience. Now, as I was reflecting on that, it got me thinking about what it means to be a good follower, especially a good follower of Jesus. Have you ever gotten distracted and dropped back from closely following Jesus' guidance for one reason or another, only to quickly realize you're lagging far enough behind him that his voice isn't as loud to you as it once was? Or has there ever been a time in your life when you'd wake up, your head would pop off the pillow, and the very first thought you had was of the Lord himself? But for whatever reason, you find yourself in a season of life now where you can go through an entire day or longer without acknowledging him in the course of your day. So I think this is a real problem for every single one of us in this room this morning. If we don't stay on Jesus' heels, if we don't stay attentive to his voice, we can quickly get distracted and default to the very dangerous position of trying to navigate the complexities of life by leaning on our own wisdom and understanding rather than leaning on the Lord's. Proverbs, in fact, says this is dangerous because there is a way that seems right to a man. It seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So this morning on Kids Co Sunday, we've gathered once again to stay on Jesus' heels together, to remain attentive to his voice, and to lean on him to help us navigate the complexities of life with wisdom, specifically as parents and mentors. This morning, we're seeking God's guidance, his wisdom for our role as parents and mentors, because we want to guide our kids in the fear and instruction of the Lord, don't we? We want to serve as spiritual tour guides so that they stay on our heels, attentive to our voice, so that we can lead them to their Savior and maximize their enjoyment of him. Like the Apostle Paul, we want to be able to say to our kids, those we're mentoring, we want to be able to say to them, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So then wise parents are watchable parents. Wise parents are watchable parents. Wise parents are those whose lives children can watch and imitate to learn what it means to trust and follow Jesus. Wise parents are watchable parents. But how do we become those kinds of parents and mentors? We're going to discover three insights from Proverbs chapter 3 together this morning in the first 12 verses. But before we jump in, I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask for the Lord's help that we might not lean on our own understanding, but on his. So pray with me. Father, we just want to slow down for a moment and acknowledge that we are insufficient, that we don't have everything that we need to conduct ourselves with wisdom in the complexities of this life in a fallen world. So we want to slow down. We want to acknowledge you. We want to ask you to speak to us through your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would help us understand and embrace with faith what we hear and to give us eyes to see Jesus, to treasure him above all else, and to walk in wisdom. And we ask that all in his name. Amen. Okay, so there's three insights in this proverb or in this passage that are going to help us learn what it means and looks like to become wise, watchable parents. And here's the first. Wise parents keep God's commands. Wise parents keep God's commands. Listen to verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So these verses, right out the gate, they're this picture of intentional parenting, aren't they? It's a father speaking to his son. You can see that in verse 1. You can see it again in verse 11. He says, my son. And the father is wise, and he's speaking to his son who lacks wisdom. And because he loves and delights in his son, he wants to intentionally impart God's wisdom to his son. And he does that through a combination of verbal instruction or teaching, as well as ethical modeling. So it's not just what he says to his son, but it's how he lives before his son. And so the father begins, my son, do not forget my teaching. And how does he avoid this forgetfulness? He explains in the very next clause, but let your heart keep my commandments. Of course, to keep the father's commandments is to trust and obey them. It's not just to know them in your mind experientially, it's to put them into practice experientially. And this obedience is to proceed from the heart. He says, let your heart keep my commands. He says, write them on the tablet of your heart. So it's not that begrudging, roll your eyes kind of obedience. It's not the kind of, it's not assuming that they are a stifling, joy-killing, freedom-stealing kind of command. Instead, it's the glad-hearted, willing obedience that believes God's commands are good commands, that they lead to our flourishing. So just listen to verse 2. It says, keeping them adds length of days, years of life, and peace to one's life. Verse 3, keeping them maximizes our enjoyment of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Verse 4, keeping them brings favor and good success in the sight of both God and man. So God's commands do not harm us. They lead to our flourishing. Or as the Apostle John says in his first letter, he just says, his commands are not burdensome. Years ago, I was at a conference, and I heard a pastor and his wife sharing about their personal habits of Bible reading, and she shared how she intentionally sought to impart her love for the Lord and for His Word to her young children. She said that each and every morning, she would get up relatively early, she would find the same chair in her living room, and she would read her Bible devotionally. And she would pick the same place, same time, every single morning, because she wanted her kids to wake up, see mom sitting in that chair, reading her Bible every morning. And her goal was simple, to imprint on their young hearts and minds that she loved the Lord and His Word, that she believed it to be a good and life-giving Word, and that they should too. That when they became adults, they would have this memory imprinted on their mind of their mother sitting in that chair enjoying God's Word. So parents and mentors, we can teach our kids to revere and delight in God's commandments too, not as a means of salvation, but as the path of wisdom, because we know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But as those who are indwelled and empowered by God's Spirit, disciples of Jesus, can rest in His finished work and delight in God's commands. We can obey them from the heart, enjoying His Word. So let your children see you reading and enjoying God's Word. Let them often hear you talking about it in the everyday stuff of life. Even better, read and discuss it with them too. And we have lots of practical tools to help you do that, here for free, in fact. But most important of all, let them see it slowly but surely changing your life as you trust God's promises and walk in obedience to His commandments. Because wise parents are watchable parents. They keep God's commands. Second, wise parents trust God's direction. Wise parents trust God's direction. We can see this starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. When I was a kid, I was at a friend's house playing a game of ball tag, and at one point in the game, I tried to avoid getting hit by running and hopping up on this bar top. But the moment I put all my weight on that bar top, I learned that it was not fixed to anything. It immediately flipped when I put all my weight on it. It launched me onto the floor, and then it came crashing down on my pinky finger, broke it, and left me with this Captain Hook-looking pinky finger that I have right now. I trusted in this countertop to support my weight, but my faith was misplaced, which reminds us faith is only as good as its object. That's why this section warns us against misplaced faith. We are not to be wise in our own eyes, verse 7. We are not to lean on our own understanding, verse 5. Instead, the Father tells His Son, and He tells us, to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all our heart, to lean on Christ, because He alone can bear the weight of your entire life. To trust in Jesus is to know what He has promised and to know what He hasn't promised, to be clear. But it's to know what He's promised, to believe that He is faithful to keep every one of those promises, and then to align your life accordingly, to actually let those promises shape your daily decision-making, or as verse 6 simply puts it, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. When my oldest daughter was little, she would sometimes hoard her toys. You could tell which one she treasured the most because when she was playing with her sister or a group of kids, she'd find all her favorite things and she would gather them together in this pile, okay? Now, she might take a couple, like give it to her sister, give it to her friends, but the one she treasured most, she would do one of these, kind of these numbers on it, right? She would just kind of hoard them and keep them safe. She'd lay on top of it until the coast was clear. And I think that's the way it is for some of us in our relationship to Christ. We'll trust Him with some of our life. But there are other things, the things that we treasure most, we tend to hoard for ourselves. So for example, right now some of you are asking these kinds of everyday important questions. Should I move? Should I join or leave this church? Should I take or leave this job? Should I date or marry or divorce this person? Should I make this financial decision? Should I give my life to Christ and be baptized next month? Should I allow my child to have a phone or social media and countless other very important questions? In all these decisions, this proverb is saying, we're to acknowledge the Lord. So parents and mentors, our kids need to see us learning to trust God's direction in every area of our lives, not compartmentalizing our lives. and not hoarding some aspects of our lives for ourselves. They need to see us learning to submit our entire life to the loving leadership of Jesus. That's what it means to call him Lord Jesus. But we're only going to do this if we're absolutely convinced in God's goodness, in Christ's trustworthiness. And our confidence in that is only going to grow as we saturate our minds and hearts with his word. So wise parents are watchable parents. By watching them, you can see them keeping God's commands. By watching them, you can see them trusting in God's direction. But third, wise parents honor God's provision. Wise parents honor God's provision. Listen to verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So the command, the simple command in verse 9 is to honor the Lord with your wealth. Now there's a Hebrew word behind that English word that says honor, and it has the sense of acknowledging God's weightiness, his worthiness, his significance. And so we honor his worthiness, his weightiness, his significance with respect to our wealth by acknowledging his ownership of all that we have. Since God is the creator of everyone and everything, that makes him the owner of everyone and everything. So when you log into your online banking account and you look at your balance, that number is the Lord's. When you think about all your material possessions, however few or many you may have, it all belongs to the Lord. And if God is the owner of all those things, then that makes us stewards. Christian author Randy Alcorn gives us a very helpful definition of what it means for us to be stewards of all that belongs to God. He says, a steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets and then carry out his will. So then we honor the Lord when we understand that he is the owner of all that we have. We honor him when we understand that we are stewards. And then when we give him the first fruits of all that we have. Now, first fruits is a very much a Bible word. It's not one that you're probably using in day-to-day speech. So what does it mean to give to him the first fruits? Well, to give God the first fruits of your wealth is to give back to God the first and best of all that he gives to you. So for example, when you take a percentage, say 10% or whatever amount you've chosen, when you take a percentage of every paycheck you receive, and you invest it in the kingdom ministry of your local church or another Christ-centered ministry, before you pay the bills, before you save it, before you invest it, before you spend it, that is an example of giving the Lord the first fruits of your wealth. You acknowledge his ownership, you acknowledge your stewardship, and you believe that even when you give God your first and best, he will be faithful to provide for your true needs. As my girls have gotten older, Casey and I have started giving them an allowance. And you guys know the drill. They have chores around the house they're to complete to earn that allowance. And then on Monday every week, we give them a few bucks each. And when we were first getting this started, we asked for some input from other parents who were already in the habit of doing that kind of thing, who had already been there, done that, best practices, how much to give, all that good stuff. And so we took their advice. My wife bought each of them a plastic folder with dividers inside of it. So one of the dividers labeled give. Another divider is labeled spend, and then another one is divided save. And so each week when they get their allowance, they are asked and expected to put a few bucks in the save divider. They're put a few in the spend. But first and most importantly, they're to give back to God. The money in the give divider is going to be given to the ministry of their church. So just a simple example of what it looks like to rip off somebody else's good idea and claim it as your own. What about you, though? What are some simple everyday ways that you are or could begin modeling for your children what it looks like to honor God's provision, to show them that God is the owner of all that we have, that we're stewards of what belongs to him, and that he is worthy of the first and best of what he's given to us? Wise parents are watchable parents. They're learning to keep God's commands. They're learning to trust his direction, and they're learning to honor his provision. And if they're honest, they're also learning how much help that they need too. So that's why Kids Co exists. We are partnering with parents to grow a generation that treasures Christ. So on this Kids Co Sunday, what we've done is we've invited a few people to come up and share. Tina Rivers, Levi Messer, and Mario Kinsella, to share how Kids Co intends to partner with parents to help them raise children who treasure Christ. So if you could encourage them and welcome them before they share with us. So I've got a few questions for all of them. We're going to start with Tina here on my left, your right. So Tina is working or here to share about how Kids Co is helping toddlers treasure Christ. So what are some specific ways that Kids Co is doing that?
Yeah, so as I was thinking about this conversation, the kind of the first few things that popped to mind, the first thing is just building relationships with kiddos. If you have toddlers or you have had toddlers in the past, you know toddlers, sometimes it's kind of hard to separate from mom or dad when they first come in the morning. And so just right at the beginning, just taking time with them together to just soothe them, let them know they're safe, show Jesus' love to them, and that it's okay to cry, it's okay to be sad for a little while, mom and dad will be back, and we're going to play and have fun together. So just building those relationships. And then as the year goes on, those tears are less, and they are shorter, and so that's great. And then the second thing is sharing the Bible with them. So during story time, they come to the carpet, we pull out the Jesus Storybook Bible, and they sit down with us, and we pass the Bible around, and they're touching it, they're feeling it, they're turning the pages, looking at the pictures, and while they're doing that, we are saying, this is God's Word, and this is the Bible, and God's Word is true, and it's all about Jesus, and how much that He loves you, and so they get to just learn that that's the Bible, and it's God's Word, and so it, also they hear the same story that the bigger kids are hearing each week. So if you've got multiple kiddos and you're talking about what the story was later after church, hopefully some of what you're saying might perk up their ears and sound a little bit familiar to them. And then lastly, the other intentional thing that we do is just praying over kids. And we do that during diaper changes, which is kind of silly, but that's just an opportunity to have a little bit of one-on-one time with a kiddo. We pray over them that the seeds that are planted in Kids Co will grow in their hearts. We pray for families that you will continue to guide them and grow them. And so those are kind of some of the things that we do with toddlers.
So as you're thinking about some of those specific examples, yeah. Which ones or what kinds of things are exciting you most personally and why?
So it's just really fun to see, like, toddlers are very joyful little beings. So they come into story time and they're sitting at the carpet and they're excited and they're happy and they're dancing. And so while we're sharing the story, they're pretty excited. And while we're singing and doing the same songs each week, they start to learn those and they're kind of dancing and bebopping along with us. And so it's just fun to see that excitement grow. And then just being able to plant those seeds as a toddler. Some of them are just learning to talk. And so when they're saying mommy and daddy and Jesus, that's kind of some of their first words. And that's really cool. And just planting those seeds for them to continue on as they get bigger in Kids Co.
That's very, very helpful. So Levi is next. Levi's here to share a bit about how Kids Co is partnering with parents to help our preschoolers treasure Christ. So what are some specific ways that's happening?
Yeah, that's a little loud. Sorry.
Our first thing in preschool we're happy about is we don't change diapers. We still pray for them, but we appreciate you guys doing that. I think the way we partner is it's in that Bible study. It's so cool to watch these kids see the lesson, and sometimes you're reading through it, and it's like, there is no way these 3 and 4-year-olds are going to get this. And then I just came out of doing the lesson right before this, and it was like asking them questions, you know, like, why did Paul get blinded, and all of these things, and they're constantly pointing back to Jesus and the gospel, and so that's an amazing thing to see.
When you think about some of the specific ways you're trying to help preschoolers, what excites you most personally, and why?
I think two things. One is, as much as you parents are praying for your kids, like, we're praying for them too, mm-hmm. And so that's a big prayer every week for us is that we just continue to pray the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, drawing them nearer to Him. And then before snack time, if they're not too crazy, we'll ask them, who wants to pray? And it's, their hands shoot up, and it's most of them want to pray.
So it's not like an adult small group.
No.
It's the opposite.
It is not. We could take a lesson from that. So.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so now we've got Mario last. You laugh because it's true. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Mario is going to share a bit about how Kids Co is trying to partner with parents to help our elementary age kids treasure Christ. So same question for you. What are some specific ways y'all are trying to do that there?
Yeah, I think the best way that I could think of to describe it is just we are doing the best we can to create a fun and safe space where the gospel stories can be taught and those kids can hear them. Safety looks like keeping them safe, but really what it looks like is giving them a space where they can feel like they can be themselves. And so one of the cool ways we've done that, we have an amazing design team, and they have, if you've never seen the space up there, it's so awesome. We've got areas for kids to do some art things if they love art. We've got some lots of different building toys if that's where their passion is. If they love to have a little quiet time before kids go starts, and they can go in our little reading area that we've got. And then of course we've got all kinds of games, board games, card games, sports games. If there's a game out there, we probably have it. But it's more than just the space. It's that we are trying to recognize that these kids are all different. Their ages are different, and in those differences, they kind of have different ways they need to learn. And so we have kindergartners and first graders, my youngest friends, and they might tell you that one of their favorite things is silly time. Now, what does silly time look like? It's kind of what it sounds like. See, these kids have to come in, and they do worship, like you saw this morning, but then they listen to a lesson, and they listen to maybe a video of the mission of the month or talking about VBS. Then they go and they have discussion. That's a lot of sitting and trying to be quiet and trying to, and so we recognize that they need to move. They need to get those sillies out. And so for about a minute, they get to get up, stand up, and be as silly as they can. That includes crazy dancing, that includes loud noises, whatever it looks like. And then we calm back down and we finish the lesson. You might think, like, that probably doesn't work. Actually works really well. We get their sillies out and then they come back and talk. But across the room, we have second and third graders. And second and third graders are very different, because if you know a second and third grader, you know there is not a water bottle they've met that they don't want to try to bottle flip. And so we understand that, we get that, and they get a water bottle when they get their snack. And so instead of trying to go against that grain, we go with that grain. And we let them have a little bit of time to flip the water bottles before we start. Maybe we try to do it with them, although we're not nearly as good. And then we start the lesson. We hone in, we focus in, and we talk about the lesson. And so, and then lastly, I'd say that we try to take the lessons and cater them to the different kids, because a kindergartner thinks a lot different than a third grader. Now, all those things might seem kind of silly or unimportant, but the reality is they're creating this space where kids feel seen for who they are, where they feel loved, where they feel cared for. And what it does is it creates these relationships between the kids and the volunteers that we have. And those relationships create this loving respect. And that loving respect opens up those opportunities for us to share the gospel and have it actually be heard. Now, we've got a lot of awesome volunteers up in the summit, and I wish I could, like, shout all of them out right now. But what I do want to shout out is that we have a few that are serving multiple times a month, two times, three times, some of them even every Sunday. And I shout them out only to say this, that those volunteers that are serving multiple times a month, I see those relationships go quicker and stronger and deeper. To the point where kids aren't excited to come see the space, although it's awesome. They're excited to come see the volunteers that they have the relationships with. Or maybe, like Tina said, one of the kids is having a hard morning, because that still happens up in the summit, and they don't want to separate from mom and dad until they see that volunteer that they have that relationship with. And they leave mom and dad like they don't even exist, which is hard for parents sometimes. And they run to that volunteer, and I see them walk up next to them, hand in hand, or just next to them as they go upstairs to the summit. All those relationships are so key to open up these avenues for that gospel to be told, because the kids trust and love these volunteers that are investing in them every single week. And so, to borrow from a different ministry, we have earned the right to be heard from these kids by loving and caring for them. And so they like to listen to us most of the time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you can tell just from even the short snapshot that you've been given that KidsCo is taking great care to be intentional, to love, and to steward this time, to help our kids treasure Jesus. So if you could just encourage them for sharing with us. Appreciate you guys. I think I'd be whiffing pretty badly if I didn't also invite you to consider serving in KidsCo. KidsCo is a really important ministry. The primary responsibility, of course, is on parents, but parents need help. And so if you're willing and able, we would love to invite you this morning to get that communication card out, fill it out, mark serve team, and in the comment section say, I'm interested in serving in KidsCo, and we will follow up with you very, very quickly, very quickly, just to be clear. So as we kind of bring things to a close, I want to remind us of where we've been. Wise parents are watchable parents. They keep God's commands. They trust God's direction. They honor God's provision. Their children can watch and imitate their lives to learn what it means to trust and follow Jesus. But I'm also aware that it's possible that as you listened this morning, you did a bit of self-evaluation. And as you did, you may have become keenly aware of the ways in which you haven't kept God's commands. You haven't followed God's direction and haven't honored God's provision. And that's why we need to remember the good news of Jesus every single week. And we do this in large part as a community by celebrating and receiving the Lord's Supper each week. And we do that to remember this, that Jesus is the only perfect Son of the Father. As you've been eavesdropping in on this lesson from a father to his son, we need to remember this. Jesus is the only perfect Son of the Father. He's the only Son who lived in perfect obedience to the Father's commands. He's the only Son who perfectly trusted in the Father's direction. And he's the only Son who perfectly honored the Father with his wealth. So remember, he did that as your representative. Through faith in Jesus, his perfect obedience has become yours. Not only has your sin been atoned for and forgiven by his death on the cross, but his perfect righteousness is yours as a gracious gift through faith in him. And that truth is meant to be a great comfort and encouragement in those moments when we will inevitably fail as parents. But you also need to remember this. You are united to the perfect Son. And through faith in Jesus, you have been adopted as sons and daughters in his family. His Father is now your Father. And his Spirit now indwells and empowers you. And that, too, is a gracious gift of the gospel message. And so know this, the Spirit is forming the Son's wise character in you. He is enabling you to grow and to increasingly become the kinds of parents and mentors we've considered this morning. Because of the gospel, you can change. We can become. We can grow into wise, watchable parents. So I'm going to pray for us. And if you know Jesus, you are invited to remember those truths as you receive and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel message that in your love for the world, you have sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to live, die, rise again, and be enthroned for our sake, that we, instead of perishing in our sin, might have eternal life now and forever through your Son, Jesus. We know that we've not only been forgiven of all our sin, but we've also been made new. Your Spirit dwells within us if we know Christ, and your Spirit is forming Christ's character in us. So here's our prayer. Help us to rest in the finished work of Jesus and empower us to change, to become wise, watchable parents and mentors who can invest in the next generation and lead them to maximize their enjoyment of the treasure that is Jesus. And we ask that all in his name. Amen.
Dear Father, thank you for the wisdom found in Proverbs 3. Help us keep your commandments and embrace your loving discipline, knowing you reprove those you love. Help us trust you with all our heart and acknowledge you in all of our ways. Please make our path straight. Help us honor you with our wealth, with the first and best of all that you give to us. Thank you for providing for all of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here to help us celebrate and make the most of Kids Co. Sunday. I know a lot of time and energy and effort went into it, so thank you so much for being a part of it. We want to invite you back again next Sunday. If you're a guest with us, we hope you felt welcome at home, that you'll come back even sooner. We hope that you'll join us this afternoon for Family VBS. We would love to have you and your family for that too. And I want to leave us with one final word from Ephesians chapter 3. It's a benediction from verse 17. And the Apostle Paul says this, "May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen.